Hey guys.
Like obviously last week the headset issue was a problem at the very beginning, and Greg said there's so many different options, kind of a pecking order of what you're supposed to do or Josh is supposed to do in that situation. How much leeway or how much freedom does Josh have in calling his own plays, whether it's in that situation or maybe audibling at the line?
There is a plan that we have in place, and you know, fortunately those things do happen, mechanical breakdowns, what have you, and whether we want to get into some type of a signaling system where we can go ahead and have somebody, and I don't want to say who, multiple people ideally, that would signal in the play to be able to move forward. And then the ultimate contingency plan with regard to, okay, I can't hear anything and I don't have a signal, and so what do we want to do with regard to either a run or a pass? And so situations like that are unfortunate, and just we got to make sure we're continually revisiting that and reinforcing that and having that in place in operation so that, you know, we don't have those type of mishaps at the beginning of a game.
In terms of Josh's freedom, though, I mean, throughout the game, does he have a lot of latitude in terms of calling his own plays?
We'll have opportunities within our system where we're looking at running a play or a pass play if we don't have the type of numbers. We'll give parameters. You don't want to have somebody up there having to think about so many different options. It's typically something where we'd package a play. And, again, having the latitude with regard to a contingency plan where it all breaks down, there are those opportunities as well.
Are you disappointed that he did not call a play and had to suffer the two delayed game penalties?
Well, I think the disappointment, it's hard to really put a finger, and there's a lot of disappointment. I mean, we didn't execute the way we're capable of. We didn't perform the way we're capable of. We didn't coach the way we're capable of. And so it's something that you come off a day like today where there is a similar scheme, there is a similar type of opponent and a division opponent at that we're very excited about this challenge. So it you know, we're not rushing the time away. Never want to do that. We had a lot of good work today, and now, you know, look forward to getting into the meetings and stuff. But I don't think you can put a finger on or single out any particular thing. There's just a lot of things that weren't what we want, what the organizations want, what our fan wants. And so we're ready, excited to get ready after my Saturday.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Daily, at least in training camp, and sometimes we can hear it out here, you guys practice for those situations that happened Sunday. And you're putting in uptime, sometimes up to a half an hour of practice with the noise. Mm-hmm. I mean, in layman's terms, how can something like that happen when you put so much time and effort into preparing for just that situation?
There's no doubt a lot of time is spent, and not just the noise as far as crowd noise, but you guys have heard even the music, you know, and having the various, to have that be another distraction. I think it just goes to show that the more, you know, we have worked on that, and obviously need to continue to work on that to make sure those things don't happen again. And so I just, looking forward to the next step, and we learn from, and like anything else, because whether we had scored 50 points and had 600 yards and just had the world's greatest offense, or we'd, you know, got shut out and couldn't get an inch, no matter what happens, you know, we better get ready to roll against a division opponent. So that's what I think was really what's most important.
That's true, but you were out of sync in the preseason games, mm-hmm. at least, and we talked a lot about that. It didn't look a lot different in the first regular season mm-hmm. game. This is your second year. You talked about how much further you should be as an offense.
Right.
How disappointed are you that you're just not seeing, no one's seeing
right.
that?
Well, you know what? There's no question disappointment, and it's not what anybody wants, certainly me, or definitely not the players or the other coaches or anybody within the organization. But I don't think that to sit there and wallow and focus on how sorry I am for myself and, geez, what's going on, I don't want to just point out what's wrong. Well, how can we find answers? How can we find solutions? And so we have addressed, talked internally as coaches, talked to our players, what are the things that we've got to do? Because, as you recall, last year, you know, the boat was sinking, and oh, my gosh, what's happening? And we were able to pull it together despite having some guys go down. And so we've got great confidence in our players and our system and our coaches, and rest assured that while there is disappointment, to answer your question, well, there's also a resolve to fix the problems and to move forward.
Mike, you've got a couple of pro bowlers up front. There's a lot of money invested in that unit. Yet, as Rick said, from the preseason on, they haven't looked crisp, opening up holes, pass protection. Mm-hmm. In your mind, what's going on up front?
Well, you know, you look at the situation with Carl, and the injuries and him coming back, and with Davin Joseph, who, it's a lot of football that he played, and the first amount of football in a long period of time, to having sat out the entire year and then having very limited opportunities in the preseason. And I think continuity is so critical to that, to that unit as a whole, and those are two very, very good players up front, and to not have them in there, that doesn't give us any excuses. You know, the guys have to step up, and we got to make sure that we do the things to keep moving forward. But there's no question that that consistency, getting the same group, the communication, the calls, that's what's going to help us be the type of offense, both in terms of running the ball and in pass protection, that we want. And there's no easy answer. We've got to just keep pushing, keep fighting, keep moving forward, and whoever's in there, making sure we're doing all the things to put them in the best position. And hopefully we'll get Carl back in the right form, and Davin continues to improve and come back again. That's a lot of football for him. And more football than he's had in a long time. So excited to see about where he does and continuing to get better. And, you know, certainly not the game that he's accustomed to, that any of us are accustomed to. But first time out the gate, you know, we got something to build upon now.
Encouraged by Carl's progress, Mike?
I am. You know, he was limited today, so it was good to, you know, don't want to get any of those specifics as far as what he did or didn't do, but it's good to see him back there. And certainly he's a key part of our offense, and it would be really – great to see him healthy and ready to roll.
How much does Drew Brees affect your game plan? Everyone talks about defending Drew Brees, but on the opposite side, you can affect his ability as well, can't you?
Well, he is a great player, and it's an outstanding offense. And I think the main thing is, from our standpoint, holding on to the football. You know, we don't need to give those guys any more possessions than they're going to have, and their ability to be as explosive. And I think, like most offenses, you want to be out there. You want to be scoring. You want to be trying to move the football. And if he's having to sit on the sidelines, you only go through the pictures, you know, so many times, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting. And so if we can do our part to help frustrate him because he's having to sit on the bench and has a lot of time on his hands rather than being able to go out there and operate, then that is certainly going to help our team. And if we can do that, and while we're out there, we're not just wasting time, we're moving the football, converting on third down and scoring touchdowns instead of field goals, then I think it's going to be a good day for us.
I guess a guy like that, it's critical. You've got to go with the mindset that you got to put up points.
You know, I think you want to have that type of a result-oriented thought process going into your preparation. You got to have a plan that is how can we account for that defense? How do we solve the problems that they present? How do we change the picture that we've shown? And how do we, you know, put ourselves in that position, not to compete against that other offense, but how are we going to solve the problems of the defense? And so, you know, it's maybe in the back of your mind from the standpoint, you know, that you don't want to have them have that offense have any extra possessions, but we really have to zero our focus and lock in on what the schematic challenges and some of the personnel challenges are going to be of the Saints.
When you're in the preseason, any of your quarterbacks completed more than 50% of their passes, all three of them, and Josh comes out completing less than 50% of his passes in week one, what's the biggest culprit there, and what do you attribute that to?
I think there's a number of reasons. I don't think you can I can't pin it on one particular facet. I mean, I think if we were to look at every single pass and ones that are incomplete, I think anyone can look at it and say, that's a good ball, that's a drop. Or, okay, that was not a great throw. Or, gosh, they had a great defense, that's a good call, it wasn't open. Or, there was protection. So, there's no, to answer your question, there's no specific, we're not winning, we're not throwing it accurately, we're not protecting. It's sometimes it's a combination of some various factors, and sometimes at the most inopportune moments, because you get some of those big completions and, you know, we're doing some good things on third and four, third and six, third and nine, but, you know, some of the results that you get, it's hard. You know, you're not real thrilled about making a play call on third and 35, you know, but that's, we earned the third and 35. So we've got to do a better job, as some of the other questions that have been asked, as far as how we can address all that and what we're working on to make sure we get that squared away.
On the interception, Mike, on the pick.
I'm sorry?
What'd you notice on the interception?
There were some issues schematically that it didn't, I don't want to get into specifics, to be Ira. I'm not trying to shortchange
the, you know, play, though, Mike.
Well, the thing is, if without getting into the mechanics of what our operation is, there's any specific pass play, you know, when we account for how we're going to try to protect the passer, if a team does something that doesn't allow us to do that, we have to make an adjustment, and you know, there's certain things we can either be on the same page or not be on the same page, or they make a great play defensively. So, again, I don't want to get into the specifics as far as what they did because, you know, I'd rather let those other defensive coaches figure out, you know, what it might, may or may not have been to go ahead and put themselves in a position. It just, it doesn't, it's not going to serve us any better for me publicly to talk about some of the specifics, the minutiae of what we're doing on that particular play.
Coach, what time are you using from last year's game against the Cowboys and Rob Ryan's defense? I know it's different players, it's a mm-hmm. different team, but how much did you learn from him facing off against him last year into this game, or is the two games you faced the Saints?
No, that's a great question. I mean, there's his brother, very involved with the Jets, and they are similar, but in some ways there's some differences, and I think that it would be foolish for us not to look at that game, which is another challenging, difficult, disappointing game for us offensively. And so there's definitely, while they don't have in New Orleans a DeMarcus Ware and a Spencer, they definitely have some talented players and some guys, you know, off the edge, Jordan being a guy 94 that really makes a lot of things happen. You know, the safeties, you know, with the addition of Akero, in addition to Jenkins and Harper. So, you know, they're a talented bunch, but I think there'll be some similarities, but not necessarily a carbon copy because, like anything, you know, the personnel really drives the train, I think, whether it's offensively or defensively.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys.